All right, let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Thank you, brother. Now, since Brother Peacock was so gentle, I thought I'd preach a little bit. I look at you, ain't much fur left. And you only can skin a sheep once and he's dead, so. But he told you absolute truth. Truth can't hurt you, truth will help you. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Let's begin to read in 1. 22 and 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm asking my good friend Ray Meyer to lead us in a word of prayer, please. Now here in 1 Samuel chapter 22, David goes down here to this cave, Adullam. And when he goes down there, he's got some young men with him. And what he is he becomes their leader. And if there's anything that you and I need today, it's to know how to recognize leadership. If a man can lead, I can follow. If a man can't lead, I'll lead. I wouldn't expect anybody to follow anybody in the battle that had never been in battle. That's what's wrong with buttercup lieutenants in the Marine Corps. They get out of college and go 90-day wonders and then try to tell us how to operate in a jungle we've been in for 12 months. Well, they'd be gone in 2 weeks in a body bag. Why get close to them? But it was that old gunny sergeant, that old staff sergeant, that been there two or three tours that you hitched up with. He'd get you through the battle. First fella I ever met that could lead was a man by the name of Flanagan. He was my staff sergeant. First time I ever seen him, he was about this tall. He was from Columbia, South Carolina. And that little brim of that hat hit me right about here, and he'd look up with those eyes, and the first words I ever heard come out of his mouth was, "I hate redheads." Say what you say. I didn't say nothing. Amen. He told me for 12 weeks, he said, "Lince," he said, "we're going to ship you to Vietnam. Do you like that, sir?" "Yes, sir." He said, "you know why we're going to ship you there, sir?" "No, sir." He said, "we need some bullet stops, and that's all you're good for." That old boy was a smart man. I went to Vietnam with him. I was a forward observer for 105 Howitzer Battery. He was usually the platoon leader. And that old boy kept my hind end buried in the mud paddies and buried in the old, when the leeches was crawling on me, and kept telling me to get down. And when he told me to go, I'd go. And he said to stay, I'd stay. He'd been there three tours already. And I wanted to get home. I followed that man because he could lead. Now I'm going to say this, you can't lead till you learn to follow. Problem with some of you preachers is, A young man will come up to you in a pair of overalls, and you'll look at him and he looks like too much work to turn into a dress soldier. And so you don't take time with him, you try to suck the money off the old folk.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you who will get the job done. These young boys will get the job done.
Amen.
You get a bunch of young men fired up for God, they'll get the job done, amen, if you can lead. I went to North, I left here 16 years ago, and then left, went to Tennessee for 2 years, and then went to North Carolina, been there 14 years, been 13 years at our church. When I went to start our church, I didn't know where to go to get anybody to help me out. My wife got tired of my preaching. After about 3 weeks, she was the subject of each sermon. And she wouldn't come to the altar no more, so I had to get somebody else. Say, where'd you go? We're a dry county. No liquor in our county. I started finding out where the honky-tonks was. Rolling on the river, down on the mountainside, Wilson Creek Pub. Started going down there. I'd get there about 11 o'clock at night. There'd be trucks and everything else and shotguns in the windows of those trucks. And they'd be playing honky-tonk music. And I'd stand out there in the parking lot by myself and lift up my voice like a trumpet and begin to preach the Word of God. Oh, they came out and wanted to fight. Well, that was fine too after we got through preaching. But the main thing was preaching. And it wasn't long after a couple of those guys came out and said they were going to whoop me and figured I wasn't going to back off on it, that they said, what are you doing out here anyhow? I said, I'm trying to get you a bunch of sinners saved so you enjoy the grace of God and go to heaven. Said, so you're a preacher? Oh, I am. They said, where do you preach? I said, we're meeting down here at this little house down the road in Valdez. Why don't you come on down there and hear me if you got enough guts? If you're a man. But looking at you ain't much. One after one, they started coming. I mean, I got some rough old boys. They'll kill you. They'll kill you. They left this morning. There's 8 of them here, 7 of them here. A couple of those boys, half Cherokee, half crazy, half dynamite, and half Cain, and half Abel. And I'm here to tell you, they'll kill you if you cross them. But boy, they'll follow me into the very pits of hell if we're going to attack it with gasoline britches on. Say, well, I heard they're a little overboard. Sure are. Oh, they're a little overzealous. Yep, they sure are. They're too hard on people. Probably are. They'll never reach people. They don't dress right, don't wear the cufflings, and their shoes ain't shined, and you know, they don't comb their hair right, and their tie ain't right. That don't make a soldier. I was getting discharged from the Marine Corps, 1970. And I was coming home and there was this fella sitting out. I was in dress blues. I was an NCO, so I had dress blues on. Back then, the United States of America still liked the military. And I got on that airplane and the little fella was sitting over there in his greens. He was the private first class. And I got to look at that. He didn't have no ribbons on, nothing but a little fire watch. There was an old lady sitting between us. I said, ma'am, would you like this seat out here? I'd like to talk to that fella. She said, well, sure. She sat over there and I got to talking to him. And I got to looking at him. He had the right haircut. He was all manicured. His brass was all shined on his buckle. His shoes were shined. His brim on his hat was shined. He looked sharp. And I said, how long you been in? He said, about 90 days. I said, 90 days and you're already going home? He said, no, I'm getting dishonorably discharged. Couldn't tell by looking at him. You see, you can't read a book by its cover. The courage ain't on the outside, the courage on the inside. I've heard across this nation, you went to PBI? Why? Because I shined my shoes? What, they expect me not to shine my shoes? Well, we would think you'd be more rude and crude. Good Lord, how rude or cruder could I get? Except I want to be like Peacock. But you like it or not, the longer and older you get, fellas, the more you become a role model for younger men. That's if you got any umption to you. And those young men can spot a phony from a mile away. I had a lot of fellas come up to me this week. Hello, how you doing? I don't know you, but I'd like to know you. I ain't got no money. That's what I tell them. I ain't got no money. You know why? Because if they're after money, they won't want to be around me anymore anyhow. Hey, money ain't the thing. It's if you got enough guts to get up in that battle and fight. Now, David had been anointed by Saul, killed Goliath. He captured the host. He was the captain of the Lord's host. He had been to the place where people began to sing songs about him. And David had slain his thousands, and Saul only his 10,000. Saul his thousands. And so Saul, who wasn't a very good leader, if he'd have been a good leader, he'd have went out after Goliath, whether he died or not. Saul was head and shoulders over everybody. He should at least went out there and fought like a man. I'd rather die fighting than sit back and be a coward. Yes, sir. There's a little bit of honor in death if you're fighting for something you believe in. David had already been to the height here, and now he's at the ebb of his life, and he's kind of about halfway through it, and all of a sudden some young men start getting around him. Now listen, if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to get knocked down like David to show you that God can pick you back up. But when God picks you back up and sets you on the right track, which always leads out the right place, you'll notice verse 2, he'll get to generating some people just like you around you. Those that are in distress, those that are in debt, and those that are discomforted. I'll be truthful. I don't know what it is, but I seem like a, and I'm glad about it, but women don't like me. I'm thankful about that. I am. I'm real glad. I don't like, most women don't even come and shake my hand. Thank God they don't. God's given me the ability, gave your pastor the ability, gave some of you other men the ability to draw young men. You know why? They know you're a man. A lot of churches, you go to a lot of churches, you know what they got? They got women. They're women churches. And they all, they all get ready. If one woman gets all excited, all the men get excited. At our church, it's a little bit different. The men get excited, then the women get excited. There's three things I don't want in a foxhole. I don't want no woman. I don't want her to tell me how to put the round in. I don't want to ask her if I clean my rifle, wash my underwear, wash my ears. I don't want her talking. And I don't want a nigger. I had too many of them run on me in Vietnam. Don't kid me. They run. And I don't want a faggot. If I got any of those three, the first round goes in them. Amen. But I'm the faggot. I'll start here and here and here and here, here and here and here and here and then there. Let them know a little bit about pain. David related to these people. And the thing was that they were looking for a place, young men, to come where they could get some instruction to fight. And they went down to a cave where they heard that the greatest warrior of Israel was at, David. And when they came in, David said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm discomforted. I'm in debt. Hey, I'm to the place where I'm going to quit." And David said, "Come on in. The other schools wouldn't take me. Tried to go over here. They said I'd been married before. I couldn't be a preacher no more. I didn't even know how to tie a tie," they said, "and I had to wear one to chapel. And my wife had to wear a hat and gloves to come to the Roderhaver Auditorium." I remember one time me and Crazy Alan Ryman, we went up to Bob Jones University. And who asked when Dr. Upman wrote that thing against Dr. or whatever he is, Stuart Custard. And what we did is we went into that bookstore there and we took a bunch of those things from the bookstore and we got every one of Stuart Custer's books. and slipped one of his pamphlets in there. But when you opened it up, it looked just like it was part of the book. So we get out in the parking lot, and that crazy Ryman, now we're standing out in the middle of Bob Jones University, all those little faggots running around, you know, and all messing around, you know. They're asking us, what are you doing here? Don't worry about it. Little faggot, get out of here. Alan says, I got something for them. What you got? He reaches behind his seat. He's got a double barrel shotgun about that far. He said, look at this, Lince. Here we are standing. I said, brother, put that thing away. So then Dr. Ruckman always told us about Bob Jones Sr., so we went to the library. We went in the library. They had people following us around. Every place we went, they was following us around. So we went over there and seen Billy Sunday's Bible, you know, seen all these other Bibles, you know, and looked all through the picture. I said, let's go to the bookstore and get some tapes. Went over to the bookstore, everybody was looking at us. We had blue jeans on. Good Lord. Going to hell. Going to hell on a rocket with blue jeans. There was a great big old glass window there, you know, and people were walking between classes looking at us like this. So that crazy Jack Crayler, who was with us, he walks up to the window between classes. People are walking back and forth. He starts going. They said, where are you from? PBI. You want to know why he got in so much trouble? It's Ryman's fault. Not me. It's Ryman. But the strange thing, David could relate to these young men. And God will give you people that you can relate to if you'll hang on long enough to let God give you some people. Amen. Now that's what's good about a local church, because you see people at their worst. See them week after week, month after month, year after year at their worst. And what you got to realize is that you got two things in common. You love the King James Bible. And then you're all 3D prospects. You're all distressed. You're all in debt. And you're all discomforted. And I'm so glad that God gave me a crowd where I'm at that ain't got a bunch of false faces that walk in there, put their Sunday go to meeting clothes on, Sunday go to meeting face con, and they come in there and they think that a tie makes them spiritual or a shirt makes them spiritual. Some of my folks come with, like Dr. Ruckman was dressed this morning, but you know what? They love God. And if it comes to giving, they'll give. Whether they got to dig up a mason jar to get it or not. Now, God, I've asked him, why don't you give me somebody with some class? He said, you ain't got none. I said, how about some folk with money? No, you don't need that. How about some folks with some talent? Well, he gave us some good singing up there. Of course, any folks up in Carolina can sing. And God said, I'll give you some 3D prospects, and that's what he's given me. Now take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 26. Now we're going to talk about a man. Now I'm not going to be a Pharaoh preacher. I will let God's people go. I'm going to try to be a washing machine. As soon as we get in this cycle, we'll get out. This is the last night. And I believe I got something to say. But I won't say it twice. I'll come back. That's why I got outline. Don't have to run it back around again. But we will preach a little bit, if you'll let us. We're talking about a leader and a young man. And you might be that young man today that's sitting underneath this man here. And you may be the man that God wants to use, but you just ain't developed yet. Amen. That's why you're at the cave. You're sentenced to cave dwelling for 3 years. Some of you dummies, 4. Some of you idiots, 5. Why, it don't matter how quick you get out. If it takes you 5 to get through, that's 2 years less in the wilderness. Alright, 1 Samuel chapter 26, there's a boy here, his name's Abishai. Look at verse 6. 26 and 6. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who shall go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. All the people of Israel, all these young men, David said, Saul's after me. Let's go pay him a visit tonight. Which one of you young'uns will go with me? And old Abishai said, I'll go. That's a good boy right there, man. You got to understand now, verses 7 and 8, that Abishai came from a family of killers. Headhunters! Must have went to PBI. He's a PBI grad, see. He's out there ready to headhunt to get him at any cost to save his leader. Amen. There's 3,000 men of war. They're sleeping around Saul. And he's going to go down there with David. Took some guts, man. Someone says, well, you need a little bit more class down there. Or you need a little bit more knowledge. No, you need some more zeal. He always said, if it comes between zeal and knowledge, take zeal. You know what the problem with you preachers, you pastors is? The zeal that you see in those young men, you ain't got. And it puts you under conviction when they want to go out street preaching. It puts you under conviction when they want to go pass out tracts or go preach to queers or something else. It puts you under conviction when they got to go to the rock shows down there and pass tracts out. See, you've got so comfortable and lethargic in your ministry that you don't think you got to go back out in the field. You better watch out. Precock preached on that a little bit earlier. If you can't lead your men in the battle, give them somebody that can. Abishai was from a family that liked to kill people. His brother Joab climbed up the gutter so he could be the captain in David's host. Had a good brother. Ashihil, he was a little bit overzealous, but he wanted, Abner kept saying, turn back, turn back. But Ashihil ran like a roe. He had guts. He was looking for a fight. So what you looking for, Lynch? Looking for a fight. Where's that? I don't know. We keep kicking these bushes. We'll find one. Problem with you is you're a coward. You're yellow. By the back of your back looks like Highway 29 out there. Two yellow stripes running right down the back of it. I'd rather lick that yellow line all the way back to Asheville, North Carolina, than to live like some of you unfighting preachers. The only place you ever lift up your voice in the walls of a church or in some home or in some little ministry, you never go out and fight the battle. And you're breeding cowards while you're pacifying the old. Joab, Ashihil, you remember what happened to them. Joab, he got killed by Abner. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Here's this young man, his name's Abishai. I like Abishai, he's a good man in the Bible. We know what happened to Ashihil, met early death. We know what happened to Joab. He got killed, stuck underneath the fifth rib. But old Abishai was a man that stayed with David. And I guess probably one of the best sermons I've heard in a long time. It wasn't a sermon, it was teaching kind of. When Brother Donovan talked the other day at that ordination service, that old boy gave you fellas something if you stuck around. You know, it's strange when God wants to ordain somebody to the ministry, everybody leaves. The big crowd left, so they go down to steakhouse. They weren't interested in seeing God's hand laid on some man to do a work for God. I looked back across that congregation, not 80% of you people left. That old man, that old boy right over there had a whole lot to say about what you need to hear. 2 Samuel chapter 16, look at verse 7. And thus saith Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. And the Lord returned unto thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, liar. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, liar, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, thou son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why shouldest this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Yeah. Who are you talking about? You talking about the man that helped me out when I was in distress, when I was discomforted, when I was in debt? I'll take your head off, son. Look at verse 10. And King David said, what have I to do with thee? What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? See, David knows he's a little overzealous. David said, Abishai, settle down. It's all right. No, Lord. Hey, he's a cursing you, David. Preacher, he's talking about you. He's cursing. Let me cut that sucker's head off. One thing about Abishai, he didn't have a dull sword. Because he said about Saul, I'll smite him once to the earth, I'll not have to smite him again. He may have had an awful sharp sword, and he sure, I bet he knew how to use it too. The only thing, he just always wanted to keep it out of the sheath. Well, that'd be better than some of you that's stuck it in there and ain't take it out in so long as it's rusted. Now, if a man can lead, I can follow, can't you? David can lead, and Abishai can follow. Something here about Abishai. When David told him those two times not to do it, he didn't do it. He wasn't only smart enough and zealous enough to follow David, but he was also wise enough to listen to that leader's counsel. And when David said, no, you can't kill Saul. No, you can't kill Shimei. He would have been right to kill Shimei. Because down the road, as Peacock preached the other night, Shimei stabbed David in the back down the road. And any man that'll ever stab you in the back once will do it twice. If a man will stick you in the back, he'll stick you again, folks. I'm telling you, it'll always come back around. He may butter up to you, but at his point of elevation, he'll stick you again. Any man that'll step on you or stomp you down or run you down to his superiors or to his inferiors and then bow kowtows to his superiors is a wicked man. Turn to chapter 19. I like Abishai. Now Absalom's dead. And Joab and Abishai are crossing the river. Look at verse 21. Look who meets them. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Hey, he ain't forgetting, man. So all you young fellers, you know, settle down. You young PBI graduates, you guys that are graduating, you guys are out in the ministry, settle down so you can get along with everybody. Not Abishai. He had something down in his grit of his craw. It had been eaten at him. And he could forgive and hold back, but he never did forget about Shimei. And when Shimei came across that river a second time, he said, hey, David. Let me cut that sucker's head off this time. Look at verse 21. Poor old David. Poor old preacher. Verse 22. And David said, what have I to do with thee, you sons of Zeruiah? David said, come on, have a shot. Lighten up! He said, I don't like to pull my sword out without using it. He said, just stick it back in there. You know the problem with us is, folks, we got taught too good. You got spoiled. You know how to sharpen that sword. You know how to keep it sharp. You know how to use it offensively. You know how to use it defensively. And the problem is everybody else that's out there doesn't want to get in the fight. And every time you come around, you're like a burr in their saddle. Because they know they ought to get down and get into battle too. Amen. Now old Abishai knows how to hold a grudge just like me and you. Look at verse 22. Say you hold grudges, Lynch? Yes, sir. Say you leave your enemy to the Lord? Not at first. Not until I can tell him my mind. Amen. And if he don't smart off, then I'll leave him to the Lord. If he doesn't, we'll take care of business. David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zariah, that ye should this day be adversary unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Now sometimes I say to God, Lord, I'm at my church and I'll say, Lord, why got I be aggravated by all this Mickey Mouse stuff? Why don't these people grow up and live for God? You know, like between Sunday school and preaching, this lady will walk up to me. Preacher! What? That brother's little cannibal child bit my little southern belle on the cheek. Or your little gladiator beat up my boy. I said, man, what am I going to do with these people? They're so babies, man. Then I got these other boys, these Abishais, and man, I'm telling you, all they want to do is go out and stir up a fight. So I gotta learn to be quiet. And you gotta learn not to throw a rock at a wasp's nest. I remember one time Danny Hall and I was together. We had this old church up on this hill, down there by Bagoda, cat corner and frog leap and bob wire down that way. And there hadn't been anybody in that church for years, man, that old church up on the hill. And there was a great big old wasp nest about that big in that thing, man. He was just hanging down like that. Hornet's nest. And we was just studying it. And he said, before we have church, he said, we'll definitely have to get someone to come and exterminate that thing. I said, exterminate it, heck? Let's get us a rock. Waspers ain't bad. They sting and run. Hornets sting and chase. I learned after throwing a few rocks. Now sometimes it's just better to study it. Now, Abishai, he should have been able to kill Shimei, but David was older and he had more grace. And David had learned to give his enemies to the Lord and God take care of it. This young man hadn't learned that yet. And no doubt that Abishai said, let me kill him. And David said, no, you're not going to do it. He said, but he cussed you. Don't worry about it. He ain't going to do it. Don't worry about it. Well, he's doing this. Well, don't worry about it, son. It'll work out all right. Well, listen, David. He said, listen, Abishai. I'm the king. You ain't going to do it. We had a vote on liquor about 3 years ago. We're still dry. And they started putting up all these liquor signs all over our county, Burke County. And all my fellas, young guys, would get together. We'd get together Saturday night, usually go on High Peak Mountain and pray. And get up on that mountain, get on top of that mountain, and look down right into the valley where you just pray and ask God. So, oh, you got to go on a mountain to pray? No, you don't got to go on a mountain to pray. But it's pretty good to go on a mountain and pray. The reason you're making fun of it is because you ain't got no mountains where you live. Amen. If you had one, you'd climb up on one too. We get up there and pray, you know, for an hour or so. And this old boy come up in this four-wheel drive pickup. He had about four boys. He had three in the front two in the back. And I got to looking around that truck on top of that mountain up there. I seen a bunch of these chainsaws in the back of that truck. I said, you just going to cut some wood? They said, sure are, preacher. I said, man, it's 10 o'clock at night. I said, that's all right, preacher. We're going to cut some wood. I said, at 10 o'clock at night? I said, you got any lights or anything? No, we don't need no lights, preacher. We're going to cut wood. I got in my truck, went down the mountain. Well, coming down High Peak Mountain, I get on 114 there and curve around that old mountain hill, come back around Flat Gap, come back down towards my house. And there were three liquor signs up there, vote yes for liquor, and had all these liquor things on there. I go driving by the first liquor sign, I don't see it. So I wonder where that sucker's at, man. So I keep on driving, you know. Here's the next one, sitting right up there by the road, I think. Ain't no liquor sign up there. I had to go around the curve over there, get on Highway 64, start coming down by my house, come down a little hill down there by Joe's store, and I look down there, and there's a third liquor sign. It's down on the ground. So I stopped my truck back up. There's a policeman there, the sheriff. He's standing there looking at this liquor sign like this. He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Hey, how you doing, sheriff? What's going on?" He said, "Beats the fire out of me, man." He said, "Look at that thing. Someone chewed this thing up with a chainsaw." I said, "My, my, my. Shazam. I believe there was a chainsaw." He said, "You know what, preacher?" I said, "What?" He said, "They did two more down the road." I said, "Who do you think would do that?" I said, "Probably those charismatics." So I get down to the church. There's the pickup truck. There's about four more pickup trucks. I hear this, "Wow, glory, praise the Lord, wow." Guys are running around the park lot, climbing up trees, shouting, praising. I said, "Come here, you bunch of knuckleheads." I get him in my office and say, "Where in the heck have you been?" "Wow! Wow! Wow! Settle down!" I said, "What'd you do?" "Praise God, preacher." I said, "That old steel chainsaw, it cut right through a piece of wire." He said, "They had wire on it, didn't even stop it." He said, "We cut it just far enough to where it leaned, and then we got back and it went, bam!" He said, "Glory!" I said, "What am I going to do with you?" Oh. Out of churchdom. Not me. Not me. I did a lot of stupid stuff in my life. About 3 weeks later, I get this note in the pulpit. It says, "For announcements, announce that where Gideon said, the sword of the Lord, sword of the Lord and Gideon club meeting Saturday night." I said, "The sword of the Lord club and Gideon meeting Saturday night at 8 at Brother Kelly Benson's house." I said, "Kelly, what is the sword of the Lord and Gideon's club?" "Well, ain't nothing, preacher." I said, "It's a prayer group." "Kindly." About 2:15 that evening, the next evening, Sunday morning, 2:15 in the morning, I get a phone call. "Hello? Hey! Are you blankety blank preacher Lentz?" I said, "Who is this?" He said, "I run the Dixie Crossing down here in Catawba County." That's a bar down there, motorcycle club bar. I said, "Yeah, what in the heck you calling me for?" He said, "I got about 8 of these stinking nuts down here from your church. They're standing on my pool tables and they're preaching at these people. Those bunch of jackasses came in here and sang some song about amazing grace, and some big sucker got on my pool table, said he ain't getting off till you come and preach." Said, "Now what in the blankety blank you gonna do?" I said, "I'll be there in 20 minutes. I walked in that Dixie Crossing, man. There's bikers everywhere and old sloppy looking girls, and those boys stand there grinning like a possum. had a chair like that and a pool table. I got up on the pool table and said, all right, you bunch of cigarette sucking, whiskey drinking, bare legged, fornicators, all over hell. So I wouldn't have done it. I know you wouldn't. That's why you got the women. I said, every one of you suckers, meet me in my office. You get your butts back. See, below the Dave Mason-Dixon, we can talk different, you Yankees. Get your butts back to the church. I said, what are you doing this stuff for? Here's Chuck Schartner, a graduate of PBI. He made a Bible out of styrofoam. And it comes down to here, and he sticks his head out of it. It looks, it's this big. Sticks his head out of it, and his arms out of it. And it says, King James Bible. He's walking around like that, like he's Mickey Mouse or something. I said, Sharkner, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, you fool. He said, hey, preacher, ain't this cool? Idiot. Said, what am I going to do with you boys? About 3 weeks later, in the pulpit, get a letter, a little note from a little girl. Hey, honey. The sword of the Lord and Gideon Club is going to meet at Ronnie Lefevre's house at 6 o'clock on Sunday, or Saturday. Thinking, Lord God, what are they going to do now? About 11 o'clock that night, about five pickup trucks are running around the parking lot like this, just screaming and hollering and yelling and shouting. Thinking, Lord God, what's going on now? I walk out there and Chuck Shark, and he's not married. We've been saying, hey, any unmarried girls, we got a good boy. Never been with a woman, loves God, PBI graduate, passed out trash, you ought to meet him. He's a good boy, he is. And he's German, you ought to meet him. And he's sitting there, he's got a, Kelly Benson's driving the pickup truck. He's sitting on the other side, and he's got his arm around a Mary statue. With a wig on it. Just from the waist up, Mary statue. He said, hey, preacher. Said, I got me one. They're shouting, they're running, they're praising God. I said, you stinking fool. Where are you going with that stuff? Idiot. You take that stinking Mary statue and get rid of it now. He said, what am I going to do with it? I said, I don't know what the fire is going to do with it. Get out of it. Get away from the church, you fool. About 12 o'clock, my wife says, she said, Jim, we ain't got no milk. I said, honey, it's 12 o'clock at night. She said, but we had to have for breakfast. I said, all right. So I get in my truck, drive down 64 to Highway 14, get on Highway 40, drive down and come underneath the very first viaduct, and here's Mary on a hangman's noose. With a Malcolm Dixon sign that says, prepare to meet thy God. Amen. I don't want no Abishai's. I like them. They called me up one day. It was January 14th. And I said, hey, preacher, it was between services on Sunday. I said, yeah. They said, come on down to Freeman's down in Lenore. You know where Freeman Street is? I said, no. They showed me how to get there. I said, what do you want to get? They said, we're street preaching, preacher. I said, on Freeman Street, center and Freeman, south center and Freeman. I said, well, why do you want me to come? Well, preacher, we want you to come preach with us. I said, all right. So I go down there. And these idiots are standing in front of the Martin Luther King A.M.E. Zion Methodist Church. And tomorrow is his birthday, the 15th. And they've got a 15-foot sign that says, abolish the Martin Luther King holiday. And there's a million niggers looking at them. I mean, I'm sorry, northern gentlemen. And they said, preacher, we've been waiting on you to preach. I'm looking across that street, they're all going. I'm thinking, my God. I said, what are you boys got us into? They said, preacher, you better preach now. They're really going to whoop us. Maybe you can put the fear of God in them. Yeah. So I preached today, God Save the Black Boy. That's right, Acts chapter 8. Yeah. Say, what'd you do then? I got in my car and got the H-E-double-L out of there is what I did. I got the Sheol. I got the Gehenna out of there is what I did. Said, I don't want those fellows in my church. Will you send me yours? I'll take care of them. I get him down. Stop this foolishness, would you? The sheriff called me up one Sunday afternoon just before services. About 15 to 6, he said, Preacher Lynch, Sheriff Richardson. I said, hey, Sheriff. He said, I got a couple of your boys down here. I said, really? What'd they do? He said, they beat the fire out of 5 homosexuals. I said, well, how did they do that? He said, I don't know how they beat them, but they really beat them, man. I said, what can I do? He said, well, come bail them out. So I go down there, and here they are in the jail cell praying, asking God, whoa, God, kill those suckers. I go back to the sheriff, says, I don't know what to do with them. I said, I do. Give them to me. So I said to him, what'd you beat them up for? They spit on us. I look at the sheriff. They spit on them. I said, did they bleed on you? I wanted to know that before I bailed them out, see? I didn't bleed on us, preacher. Sheriff says, I said, what are we going to do, sheriff? He said, well, shucks, just take those boys back. I get them in the truck. What am I going to do with you idiots? I said, well, preacher, would you let someone spit on you? Well, for the Lord, I would. That ain't what you told us. You told us this is the temple of the Holy Ghost and no one should destroy it. Turn to chapter 21. Wild men, man. Abishai was right. David parted Shimei and he should have killed him. Because he broke parole, as Peacock told you. Look at over here in chapter 21. Look at verse 15. Don't miss chapter 21 now. About Shimei. Look at down here in verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David did what? Waxed faint. And Isbinab, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought they had slain David. Ain't that something? Here he is, 50 years after he killed his brother. This old Isbinab has got a grudge against David. He's waited till he's got old so he can fight with him. Look at verse 17. Here he comes again. Here comes the Mary statue stealer. Here comes the queer kick butter. That one guy said, man, I kicked that sucker so hard I kicked his butt up around his ears, preacher. Here comes the Mary hangers. Here they come, man. See, he's old now. David's old. He can't fight no more. He's getting tired. Can't get out there in battle all the time like he could. Now he's got to rely on the strength and the strength of that young man. The glory of a young man's his strength. The glory of the old man is the white hair. He can't get out there like he used to. So now he's relying on these young men to save him and to save his ministry for God. Oh, he'd fight. David would fight. Don't kid me. David would fight to the end, even if he knew his opponent could beat him. Like this. Yeah, I passed out this morning. Yeah, I'm just a dumb German, and I'm bullheaded, and bless God, if I fall out, you finish the drawing. With what, stick figures? No, he said, I'm going to pass out in Abishai. Said, where were we at last week? I forgot where I was at in Proverbs. And boom, 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 boom. Look at verse 17. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt not go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Succored him. He remembered that he was in distress, his comforter in debt, and he finally got to kill one. We get in country, you know. Most people died first 30 days or last 30 days in Vietnam. We served 13 months. Those old boys, I guess I was just like them when I first got there. You're always looking for your first, you know. After a while, it just becomes second nature. You say, well, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand that. It's an enemy. It's not a person. You probably don't understand that, but that's all right. Don't bother me a bit. It's an enemy. Understand? It's not a person. So no, it's really a person. Well, you can take it to a person. You won't. That person will kill you. Amen. When I look across the battlefield for Christ, those people ain't people. They're enemies. And they're either going to kill me or I'm going to kill them. And when you get one, first it makes you sick. But then you realize if you didn't get him, he was going to get you. I remember we was on a listening post about 1,500 meters out in front of the battery. Had a guy that had been there 3 weeks, young man, from Texas. That's all they talked about, Texas. Like Texas was something great. I've been to Texas.
Yeah, come on, free.
Brother Meyer says, look, you can see 25 miles. Ain't that pretty? Depressing, man. It's like, get me out of here. Trip flare went off 40 yards down the way. That old boy woke me up. I said, what? You're on duty, not me. You wake me up later. He said, trip flare went off. I said, well, take care of it. She went up. Pop flare. He said, it's just a dog. No, it wasn't just a dog. Tied a string on his tail with a stick and threw meat in front of the dog. So I took that Ithaca Combat Master P-12-gauge shotgun that they gave me and loaded it and rolled out of the bunker. Say, why'd you roll out? Because somebody was throwing meat to that dog. And he was busting the trip flare so they could come behind him. And I seen a fella come running this way down the line like that, and that dumb boy stood up and said, hey, here comes one. And when he did, he was right. There came one. Right between his stinking temple. So what'd you do? I rolled. And then emptied 7 shots in that sucker. Amen. Feel bad? Felt pretty good. So it didn't make you sick? Nope. made me glad I lived another day. Amen. Well, he finally got one, didn't he? I'm trying to hurry. David said, when old Abishai jumped up and he couldn't fight, next thing you know, Abishai pushed David out of the way and took that sword. He succored him and he killed that giant. And when he did, don't you think that old man said, "Glory to God, man. I'm glad I didn't kick him out of school." He's a pain in the... That kid was a mess, man. He came here, he's rude, crude, mean, bugging everybody, and being obnoxious in class and asking me questions just so he could be noticed. Or to show what he knew, or to find out what I knew. But I'm glad I didn't ship him, because that sucker was there when I was ready to get killed. And he found out something. He found out something real fast. He found out that his liability became an asset. I got a big old boy at my church named Chris McNeely. He's Taekwondo or something, but 10-degree black belt. Pretty tough, I reckon. I guess he is. I never had fought him. When I first met him, he told me, he came down to my office and he said, "I'd like to meet you." And he said this and said that and cussed me, called me SOB. And I told him, "Ain't anybody going to call me that." He said, "I got 10 degrees in karate." I said, "You ain't going to call me that." I said, "Me and you're going to have a fight." I said, "You sit right here for a minute in my office." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going up to the house for a minute." I went up to the house, got my .357 Magnum, walked back down there, and I said, "You want to fight now?" He said, "No, I don't want to fight now." He said, "I was wondering about coming to your church." I said, "That'll be fine. I ain't fighting Ray Meyer. I don't care if he's big and fat or not. That guy knows that karate, man. I don't know that stuff." We was out at Walmart one day, had trucks. We get in the back of trucks, and we get five trucks. In the parking lot, we get one truck to go all the way around halfway, then the next truck starts, and the guy's preaching in that truck. What we do is we just keep cover wagging that place, you know, and preaching, and just keep rotating. Man, it's a ball, man. They're out there, you know, "You can't be in the parking lot." Shut up, man. "Are they getting so lost?" Shut up. You know, by the time, so there's these rednecks over there. I go by, I'm preaching, I said, "Better shut your mouth, boy." You know, half drunk. I look at him, "Now you're going to burn hell. You don't go around." They're standing, "Go on, shut your mouth, boy." I say, "Hey, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to fight like a sausage, you sucker." I come back around again. They said, "Hey, boy." I said, "Stop." I said, "What?" They said, "You ain't man enough to get off that truck and preach." Ooh, that's bad news to me. I got off. Started preaching. Two boys had big old buck knife cases. And the one boy took out that buck knife, flipped that thing open. He said, "Hey, preacher, you big enough to stop this?" And man, all of a sudden, everybody in the Walmart parking lot was there. In where I live, Walmart's the going place. We got to go 30 miles to go to the mall. We've become a town, though. We got a McDonald's. He pulled that knife, and I said, "Come and see." And as soon as I said that, his buddy pulled out his knife. And all of a sudden, somebody grabbed me by the shoulder and slung me from about here to that wall. And he said, "Get out of the way, preacher! Whack! Woo, woo, woo! Whack!" Said, "Can you stop this?" I figured my liability just became my asset. One more, let's go, okay? 1 Chronicles 11. Got just a minute now. I'm just trying to hurry. That's so cool, man. When we get to heaven, I'm asking the Lord to show me that on video. He's about 6'4", about 275. Agile, though, man. That sucker grabbed me. He flung me, man. I weigh about 190 pounds. He flung me. And he should have seen those old redneck's eyes, man. Thought they'd seen the Lord. First Chronicles, chapter 11, and verse 15.
how these three of the 30 captains went down to the rock, to David, into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Now remember, David found these boys when they was in debt, when they was discomforted, when they was in distress. Look at verse 16. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was in at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate." Just made a little request thing. He was up there, he's thinking about his hometown. He said, "Man," he said, "we got some nice spring water down there. Now, if you live in the mountains, man, you can go down there and take a piece of PCV and stick it over there on the side of the hill and take a Mountain Dew bottle and holler it out a little bit and stick that onto the PCV pipe and take another bottle of that water and run out. Man, that's the best water there is. Man, just drink that water just as good as could be." And David said, "Man, if I could just get me a drink of that water of the well of Bethlehem." And old crazy Abishai, the too zealous, the nut, the freak, the one that wore Turn or Burn, Jesus Saves Roman Slaves t-shirts underneath his white shirt, and when he was at school you could read him through his white shirt. The idiot. It always had 59 bumper stickers on his car, you know. Me and Danny Hall was at a meeting one time up in Ohio, and there was this guy there, man. He had a Bible this big, man. It's about that big. He was holding it up. He had one of those GI haircuts, and Danny said, "Where do you think he's from?" We knew where he was from. And the preacher said, "Hey, Lynch, get rid of that guy." I said, "What'd he do?" "Well, look at him. What's wrong with him? He ain't got no socks on." "Well, I thought that's preppy. You go down these fancy places, they don't wear no socks. They wear those little flippy shoes. No socks, see? Is he causing trouble?" "Well, no, he's just, look at him. What's wrong with him?" "He had his tie like this." "The thing about the Bible." I thought, that guy loves God, man. He said, "Well, go tell him to leave." "It ain't my church. You go tell him to leave. You want to leave. And by the way, if you tell him to leave, me and Danny will leave too." See, I ain't an evangelist. Danny is, and he'd still leave. But some of you wouldn't. Because I've been there when you wouldn't say a word. And you knew who you are right now.
Come on, preacher.
You spineless, mossy,
amen,
back,
come on,
French fry backbone,
amen,
charlatan, strutting, shamming freak, wolf in sheep's clothes, PBI graduate with not enough sense to blow the fuzz off a Georgia peach. With love, of course. He said, "If I could just get a drink." Took something to get that drink. Look at verse 20. "And Abishai, the brother of Joab, who was chief of the three, for lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them, had a name among them. Of the three, he was the more honorable than the two, and he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not to the first three." But you read down in that passage there, and you'll find out that Abishai took two other boys, and they go down there through the host and get David a drink. Just by a whim, just by a little want, they said, "I remember when I was in debt. I remember when I was going to a dead church. And those people was lying to me about the Bible.
Come on.
I remember all that foolishness at the church I was at. And then God called me to come down here. And I was discomforted. I couldn't stay no longer. Stayed till I couldn't stay no longer. Started listening to those tapes, reading those Bible books, and that preacher wasn't preaching right. And I was in distress, and I was discomforted, I was in debt, and I came down. And man, that fellow, all he wants is a drink, and all I got to do is run down there. I already killed 3,000. It ain't going to hurt me to run down and get him a drink." He goes down and gets him a drink. And when he gets that drink, David gets that drink, and he said, "Man, I can't drink this." He said, "Man, those boys risked their life for me." He pours it out to God. That's a leader. Amen. Be careful who you follow. You heard it.
Abishai remembered when he's at the cave. Came to David, and David had a job. His job was this: to take him from the condition that he was in when he came to the cave and prepare him to get to the palace. That was his job. Sometimes it had to be rude and crude, sometimes kindly. But his job was to take you from where, how you came, distressed, discomforted, in debt, work on you, give you the Word of God, show you how to sharpen that sword, how to work with that sword, try to cool you down a little bit and keep you fired up a little bit at the right times, teach you how to work, teach you how to pay your bills, teach you how to treat your wife, teach you how to be on time. Because he's trying to take it to the palace. If you read on, some of these fellows, not Abishai, but some of these fellows became singers and porters and doorkeepers and priests, but they didn't start out that way. They started out as young men coming to a cave, coming to David and saying, "Hey, could we stick with you for a while? Could you show us what God has showed you?" I remember in 1967 when I got out of high school, me and my buddy was at a mall, and we seen these signs on the wall that said, "Join the Navy, join the Army, join the Air Force." Back then they had draft, you know. So we went down and registered. I was walking around that mall. I got to looking over, there's one sign way over in the corner. I walked over there. I had a guy stand there in a pair of dress blue uniform. A little chin strap on him. And he was standing at attention, had all these medals on his chest, ribbons on his chest, some slash marks on his side, and some stripes up here, a couple rockers and a couple set of arms there. And it said, "The Marines looking for a few good men." That's all it said. It said, "Call this number." I went home, I said, "Daddy," I said, "you fought the 1st Infantry, didn't you, in World War II?" He said, "I did. My grandpa fought with the Wehrmacht in Germany in World War I. Then he moved over here after the war. My dad fought for America in World War II. My brothers are both in the Navy." I said, "Daddy, I believe I ain't got nothing better to do. I'm going to go over there and fight in Vietnam, Dad." He said, "You're a fool, boy." I said, "I might be, Dad, but I got to do something." I said, "I seen those hippies burning those flags and done register with the U of M and was going to go to the U of M and went there afterwards, but I said, I can't go down there, Daddy. I got to do something." He said, "What you going to go in, boy?" I said, "I'm going to go in the Marine Corps." He said, "No, I don't go in the Marine Corps, man." He said, "Don't go in the Marine Corps." He said, "Go in the Navy, man." I said, "My brother's in the Navy." I said, "I don't want to be in the Navy." He said, "Go in the Army." I said, "You was in the Army." And the Wehrmacht wouldn't take me. I said, "Dad, how about me joining the Marine Corps?" He looked at me and he said, "Boy," he said, "they're going to ship you to Vietnam. You might get killed." I said, "Is this country worth dying for?" He said, "It was for me." I went down there and told that fella, "I want to join up." Gave him my draft card. He took me at my word. He took me that day. I didn't mean like, I meant like a couple of months down the road. Said, "You got anybody come pick up your clothes, see Alf at the airport?" We was gone that day. Swore me in, we was gone that day. My dad was an executive for Ford Motor Company. He retired. After I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to U of M. And then I went to Midwestern. I had a good job. My dad got me a good job, Ford Motor Company. And I told him, I said, "Daddy, I said, I'm going to leave this job after 11 years. I'm going to go down here to Pensacola Bible Institute. I'm going to join up with those fellows. This man don't really knows the Bible, Daddy." He said, "Well, go on down there, boy. God wants you to go down there, boy." I went down here. First year, he called me up. He said, "I'm coming to visit you down at the university." They just built the double decker, see. So he comes in his Lincoln. He said, "I'm going to pick you up tomorrow. You got a good place to eat?" I said. He said, "I've seen all these fancy places on the beach. I'll take you down to the beach to eat, Jim." I said, "All right." So we go down there. He said, "Take me by the university."
And I was thinking, listen to me. I'm not preaching now, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I thought, I'll take him by Pensacola Christian. And then if Dr. Ruckman don't have his 30-foot German flag in his old boat, his old scout out front, I'll say, there's where my teacher lives. And I said, drive down here, Daddy. We got off there at Davis Highway. I said, turn here. And they hadn't bought all that land back then. And I said, get ready to turn now, Dad. And boy, was driving down that Davis Highway. And you can see that school back off in the distance. He said, where do I turn at? Where do I turn at? I said, just keep going, Dad. Amen. Got all the way down there to Palafox. He said, what do I do now? I said, turn to the right, Daddy. Drove down old Palafox, man. Old nigger shacks. Sugar shacks. Cougar bar. Got down to Johnson. Come down there, black guys walking down the road, you know. That little gas station. Possums in their baskets, you know. John or Alan Ryman's house looking like Fort Apache there on Breeze Lane. You know? Samson got a brick showing how strong he is, you know. Come around that corner there, we pulled up. Pulled into this lot. My dad said, so where's the university at? I said, it's right here, Daddy. He said, you idiot. He said, you're an idiot, boy. He said, you sold your house and your dogs and your cars and your trucks and all those guns. Look at this blankety-blank place. I said, Dad, this is what God wants me to do. Last year, when Brother Peacock and I had come back from the Philippines, or this year we'd come back from the Philippines, my dad called me up. I told him I was going, told him to come back. He got saved under Dr. Ruckman years ago. And he said, how's that Rookie guy? I said, Rookie? He said, that guy that preaches, you know, I got saved under him. I said, he's all right. He said, you know, Jim, when I came down to that little stupid looking school down there, he said, I thought you was a fool. He said, but it's amazing what God has helped you do. And now he's sending you over here and sending you over here. He said, you know, everything you got rid of was worth it. And he said, you know what, boy? I said, what? He said, I'm glad you joined up with him. I said, I love you, Daddy. He's 79-year-old. Hung up the phone. Hey, God's looking for a few good men. God's looking for some Abishais. Ain't no spring chicken, although he thinks he is. He can still crow, but he just can't get around as fast. He needs some Abishais. Will you join up today and say, I'm going to join up with this crowd. I'm going to get settled. I'm going to get loyal. I'm going to become an Abishai for that old man. You come and put your heart on this altar tonight, young men, young ladies, and join up. And you'll never be sorry that you joined up with God. Will you come today? Come on, here. I want to be an Abishai. It'll cost you to stand, gentlemen. It'll cost you. It'll cost you fellowship. It'll cost you places to preach. It'll cost you finances. It'll cost you fame. But it will never cost you your fellowship with Jesus Christ. Will you come join tonight? Don't sit. Don't be disloyal. Come. You believe this book? come. So I'm going to stick with the man that found me when I was in the cave, when I was discomforted and distressed. I'm going to join up. As long as he stays with that book, I'm going to stay with him. And God will take you through this valley. Keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You folks spend some time and make sure you realize what you're talking about to God. It'll be worth every mile of the trip.
So thankful for the men and women that stuck with us through these years in the ministry, and I'm especially thankful my own people that have helped bear the brunt and the burden of this work. And I thank these young men that put confidence in me to come down here to study. It's a great luxury. I've always considered it to be a luxury. I probably won't fail them. Maybe they'll get what they came here for. They won't go away and go out in the battle unequipped, but they'll be equipped when they go. You thank Brother Lintz for how he turned out and how you used him and how you are using him, but you continue to use him. And Lord, help us never forget our job is to build men, not buildings. And Lord, may you continue to prosper this work, protect it from evil, and search out now a couple of men in the FBI and a couple of men in the NEA and a couple of teachers over in Tallahassee, a couple of leaders, these bureaucrats, and mess them up before they can do anything that harm the work here. And may you consider these young people here kneeling before you tonight. You think about this place, not for my sake, O Lord of hosts, but for your own sake, the sake of your people. May you keep them away from here. May they not be able to accomplish their purpose if they have any evil design against this place, this church or this school. You know where they are. I don't know their names, but I know they're there. I know the tiger's out there. And I pray you mess up their plans, mess up their offices, mess up their filing cabinets, mess up their computers. May they ever do anything to stop these young men from learning what they came here to learn, those young women. And I ask you, men, for their sakes, Lord, for what they gave up to come down here and learn how to live by faith and live off sardines and crackers and rice. Lord, bless our work, we pray, as you have in the past. Bless your people. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.